take your time. I won't spend more than 10 minutes here, by the grace of God. And the theme is the Wonderful Counselor. Let's open our Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. We'll read 6 and 7. The Wonderful Counselor. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, in order to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forevermore. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Say better amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, the Wonderful Counselor. As part of my experience in the United States of America, I have been involved in so many vocations. I love teaching. That has been my profession from the word go. But when I came, because I could not easily fit in, because I have to undergo evaluation, my credentials have to undergo some evaluations, before the result of the evaluation could come and they could say, okay, now you are free to teach in the colleges. I have to do some work. And part of it was the one I did as a counselor in a social work agency in the South. And I have clients. That agency has been there for years. And clients will come to me. They will say, oh, of all my counselors, I love you. You are patient, you are kind, you don't judge people. And I will tell them, how long have you been coming to this agency? I will ask the question, oh, some of them will say, I've been here 15 years. Oh, I was registered by my mother when I was 2 years old. I had ADHD, that is where I started from. And now I am in this department called Mental Illness Case Coordination, and so on and so forth. And then the question will be, are you sure you are mentally sick? Oh, yes, sometimes I have depression, sometimes I have this, sometimes I have that. Then my next question is, how come all these counselors have not been able to heal you? Oh, all the counselors I've been having, none of them is as nice as you are. I said, no. Even me that is standing before you, I am a fake counselor. Then they will be looking at me. Do you mean you are not qualified? It's not that. Paper qualification is there. But I am a fake counselor. The only counselor that you can have and you can rely on is found in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And the next question will be, I have my Bible here. Mostly when they bring out their Bibles, it is the New Testament Bible. So we don't usually have the Old Testament. And some of them will be asking me, where did you get that from? It's in the Bible. The only one who can give you peace, and the only one who is the good counselor, the wonderful, and the counselor, the real counselor, you have not found him. And until you found him, peace cannot or may not reign in your life. Unfortunately, the agency does not allow us to preach Christ. It will tell you this is a secular agency. You know, you cannot preach the word. But one way or the other, we find ways of bringing in the word of God. I pray as the word of God passes in your life, like we had this morning, as we hear the word of God, we'll be doers in the mighty name of Jesus. Some of them will tell you, yes, I have heard it before. And the question is, did you believe in him? I go to church. My mother used to take me to church. I said, no, going to church is not the issue. Do you believe in him? It is when you believe in him with all your heart, and you know that he can do all things. You know he can meet your needs all the time. That is when you begin to appreciate who this counselor is. The counselor standing before you this afternoon, or the one you are sitting before, as you are looking at me, is a fake counselor. May God make us to meet the wonderful counselor in the mighty name of Jesus. May we be part and parcel of the ministry of the good counselor in the mighty name of Jesus. And why is he called Wonderful Counselor? Long before he was born, the prophecy has come from Prophet Isaiah. And as he was writing, he said, to us a child is born. If you start from verse 1, you see, he said, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. I pray, as you celebrate this season, gloom shall be far away from you in the mighty name of Jesus. You will never be in distress anymore in the mighty name of Jesus. He said, in the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee. Say amen. Amen. Of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. So the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. The light, the poem that was read to us by our daughter was the light. You will see the light in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And those living in the land of the shadows of death, a light has dawned. So no matter what you are going through today, because you witness today, because you are celebrating the birth of Christ, I prophesy and I decree into your life, a light has dawned into your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. A light that can never be quenched has dawned into your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Your nations will be enlarged. Amen. You will increase with joy. Amen. You will rejoice, and people will rejoice in you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I pray, come this time next year, you will never be found missing. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Why? Because he's the wonderful counselor. Then he went ahead in verse 6, said, for unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Peace, Prince of Peace. I pray that the peace of the Lord will live with you forever in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now he went and said, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. That means peace will never elude you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. He said he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. And from that time on and forever. Now, who is going to make this, you know, possible? It went further. I said, the seal of the Almighty God will do what? Will accomplish this. That means God himself has what? Seal. Z-E-A-L. And I pray that as you have seal for God, as you worship him, as you praise him, as you thank him in your heart, as you reflect over what God has done for you, right from the beginning of the year, or the last time we had Christmas carol, till this time around, the seal of God will perform everything that you desire in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Say a better amen. Amen. Now, when we talk about seal, there are some people in the past that have laid down their lives for the, because of the seal they have for God. And that is why Christianity is called an evidence-based faith. Evidence-based faith. Now, I went through this while I was in Bible college. You know, there were some, after the apostles, the 12 apostles, they left the writing and the message in the hand of some people. We call them the apostolic fathers. After the apostles have gone, we call them the apostolic fathers. Among them was Polycarp. There was another one called Clement. You know, there was another one called Ignatius. They were all bishops of those early church. And because of the seal of God in them, because of what they believe, they died horrible death. The type of death that if today I am called upon to die, I might run away. But because of the seal of God performing his word in their lives, they never die. They die, but they remain living. Among them, let me read one for you. He said, 80 and this was Polycarp now. You know? And this happened in AD 156. Okay? So 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. Said Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna, AD 156, before climbing onto the pile where Roman authorities would burn him to death. Eyewitnesses reported that local authorities respected Polycarp and begged him to recant his faith in Christ. He will not. The Romans did not even tie Polycarp to a post, as they knew he would not flee the fire. Polycarp fled his captors, prayed over them, and then climbed the pile to die. Can you imagine that? Because of the zeal he has for Christ. Authorities scattered off Polycarp's friends, Ignatius, the bishop of Antioch, and fed him to wild beasts in the Circus Maximus, on July 6, 108. That's the first century. Ignatius has refused to renounce Christ. Histories of the time, their personal writings, and the writings of others tell us Polycarp and Ignatius were students of Apostle John. We all know Apostle John, the one who wrote the Gospel, the Revelation, and those three books of John, the epistles. They vouched for him as the author of his gospel. John installed Polycarp as bishop of Smyrna, and Apostle Paul placed Ignatius in charge of Antioch. You see the type of horrible death both of them died. Why? Because of the zeal they have for God. In AD 99, the Romans drowned their acquaintance Clement in the sea, tied him to an anchor for the same reason. Paul mentioned Clement in his letter to the Philippians, and history shows that Clement interacted with Peter, Paul, and John. Clement, Ignatius, and Polycarp were one generation removed from the direct eyewitnesses of Jesus. They were students of the apostles. They vouched for the veracity of the apostolic letters that form the New Testament. They died refusing to reject Jesus as the Christ. Some skeptics say Jesus did not exist. But by any historic standard, the man known as Jesus of Nazareth existed. If he did not exist, then neither did the Greek philosopher Socrates exist. We had no writings from Socrates himself. We only know of his existence through the writings of other people. But no one would doubt Socrates existed. We actually have more eyewitnesses' account of Jesus' existence than of Socrates. Some, however, argue that because Jesus made claims of divinity, there must be extraordinary evidence, perhaps to his divinity, but not for his historical existence. We have to wipe a lot of people out of history to wipe Jesus out of history. Amen? Now, Apostle John was Jesus' best friend. We know this from the scripture. We also know this from Polycarp, Ignatius, and others. They studied under John, recounted the stories of being with Jesus, including stories, not in the scripture, and confirmed John, Peter, Paul, and others as eyewitnesses to Christ's resurrection. According to John, Jesus' own brothers, perhaps, like some readings, reading this, rejected Jesus' claim of divinity. That is, those are Jesus' blood brothers now, the other children of his father, earthly father, Joseph. At Jesus' death, John had to care for Jesus' mother because none of Jesus' brothers or sisters went with Mary to the crucifixion. John, Luke, Paul, and others tell us that Jesus' brother then became leaders in the early Christian church. It was after Jesus Christ woke up from the dead, when they witnessed the resurrection, that James, Jude, and one other became, not James and Jude, I think there's still another one, that they became Christians. Now, histories of the era recount that James and Jude, the brothers of Jesus, wrote the New Testament letters named after them. Both were executed for proclaiming Jesus as the risen Lord. In fact, the Romans ultimately exterminated the entire earthly bloodline of Jesus' family. Why? Because they wanted to exterminate Christianity. The leaders of Jerusalem respected James. The oral and written histories of early Christian church recount that they asked James to publicly push back against claims of his brother's divinity, that's Jesus Christ. Instead, James proclaimed his brother Jesus, whom he had rejected prior to Jesus' death, as Yahweh. The leaders of the city, enraged, carried James to the top of the temple wall in Jerusalem and threw him off to his death. Why? Because the seal will never make him deny Jesus. Let me use that word, deny. So Jesus could have been a con man surrounded by other con men. They in turn were willing to die to keep the con going and get others to die getting the con going. Or there is something else. Doesn't claim to be the Christ, but only Jesus remembered and worshiped as the Christ. Why? Perhaps because it is true. I, however, cannot convince you of more than the historic evidence for his existence and the willingness of many to die for him in truth. But if I'm right, you can ask Jesus yourself. This morning, I want us to take to our knees and embrace the wonders of this season. We are going to cry out to Jesus, be still and listen. And at this moment, as I wish every one of us Merry Christmas, I want us, whether you want to kneel down, want to stand up, I don't know which one you are, and ask that seal of the wonderful counselor to abide with me. The Bible says the seal of God will accomplish this. It is this seal that makes these apostolic fathers to live. Though they die horrible death. Some were thrown to wild animals. One was taken to the pinnacle of the temple and thrown down because he will not deny Jesus. Another one was taken to the pyre and burned to death because he will not deny Jesus. Why? The seal is there. Let that seal of God come upon my life this morning. Wonderful counselor, come into my life. Wonderful counselor, perform your miracles in my life. Wonderful counselor, something new in me. Christmas is not just about chicken. It's not just about rice. It's not just about celebrating. It's about acknowledging Jesus Christ in our life and having that seal. There was a pastor arrested by the Boko Haram people in Nigeria. And they were beheading their heads. He told his partner, he said, I know you are going to be released. God has shown that to me. Tell my family I die well. And his head was cut off. That is the seal of God. Ask for that seal this morning. You have everything when you have Jesus. Polycarp was asked by the Roman powers, deny Jesus and leave. History has it that he fed his captors. He prayed for them. Willingly climbed the post and was burned to death. Because though they were not eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection, they were not, but they have people who are eyewitnesses and they study under them. This is an evidence-based faith. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. For you are the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. You are the one who remains original in everything. The word of the songs, one of the words of the song sung to us this morning by the choir, says you are greater than greatness, bigger than the biggest. You are better than the best. We thank you, Lord, for residing in us. But we want to be doers of your word. We want to have your seal in us. Father, I pray this morning, our names will never be found missing from the book of life. Lord, there is a place that is better than this earth. I pray that the wishes of this world, the gold of this world, the diamond of this world, will not deny us to enter into this kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Father, I pray specifically for each and every one of us that is here this morning, that your seal to accomplish your word will reside in us permanently in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Your seal will make us to know that we lack nothing when we lay down our lives for you. Father, we receive that grace this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Praise the Lord.